Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Rees, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Gerald Walker. How are you, Gerald?
I'm really well, Robert. Very good to see you.
A pleasure. And Gerald is the CEO of ING Americas. Now, everyone's heard the name ING and, you know, about 38 million global customers. Talk about what ING Americas is.
ING globally is a massive organization which serves both retail and wholesale customers around the world. And as you say, there's about 38 million of those currently. When you look across into the Americas, we're a wholesale organization, and that means we deal with corporates and institutions across the US, and they tend to be at the larger end of the spectrum. And you know, those are clients that we are working with here who we either serve in America only, or they can be clients that actually feed back into our network around the world, and particularly in Europe. So wholesale business in America is not retail.
And when you talk about your business, you took over as CEO in 2017, and you've had some really strong success in picking up significant momentum. Talk about your whole growth plan and how that's been manifesting itself.
If I look back to 17, I came into the U.S., by the way, from the U.K. I was I'd been running our business out of the city, if you put it that way, for the previous 6 years, and so I was moving from one money center to another. And so coming into the U.S., and the U.S. is where we headquarter this business, but obviously we operate out of here down into other markets, so it's the Americas. But, yeah, you come into the U.S., which is the biggest financial market by a long way and the biggest economic mass that humankind has ever created, and it creates a lot of opportunity for a wholesale bank. So, but that doesn't mean that it's automatic growth. I think when I arrived here, there were quite a few things that we needed to look at. It was, you know, things such as which sectors do you decide that you want to spend time in? Where do you think you're going to get the right returns for your shareholders and the better returns for your capital? And so we had to make some adjustments right and left over those years. And indeed, one of the things that was not present in our makeup here in the U.S. when I arrived in 17, was much focus on sustainability, which, of course, when coming from a European base, it was much more prevalent there. And so we started our sustainability practice quite shortly after my arrival. And you know, quite honestly, at that time it was not a common feature within the U.S. Financial community.
Let's talk about that. You as a practice, Europe, as everyone knows, is miles ahead of the United States in everything there. And you brought a lot of the ideas in. What are some of the ideas, and how is that impacting ideas like renewable energy and who you're investing in?
Indeed, I remember well some conversations in the early part of my tenure here with the CFOs and the treasury folks across corporate America. And it truly wasn't a focus. It wasn't a focus at the boardroom. But we kept on talking about it. We kept on raising the subject with people. And along the way, what we brought in, if you look back to those days, we brought in to the U.S. the first sustainability improvement loan, which was essentially a signal to the market that there's an awful lot of activity that people talk about that is all in the bond market, green bonds and such like, which of course we were involved in. But we also wanted to make the point that you can actually embed sustainability across a much wider range of financial instruments. And so in the loan market, we introduced the first sustainability linked loan for the corporate sector. And what do I mean by sustainability linked? It's nothing more complicated than linking the actual margin to how a company will perform against certain KPIs from a sustainability perspective. And so what we were trying to do when we were bringing that through was have the dialogue at a strategic level with our clients about if the future is pushing you this direction and pulling you this direction, you need to measure it. You need to be able to look your investors and your staff and your clients in the eye and say, these are the things that are important to us. And actually, if we do well, in fact, the cost of our financing adjusts downwards as well. And that, you know, it seems like a little bit like common sense now. And in fact, it was widely copied in the market, which, of course, we're very happy about because we believed that, you know, there was no patent on this sort of stuff. But we feel we moved the market in the right direction at a time when it wasn't naturally moving that direction.
I'm wondering, right now, this is something all financial institutions are trying to get into, and maybe they think it's the right thing. But you were a real pioneer. What was that like when you went out a little bit on a limb and started working in your sustainability in financial services before people really doing it? Was that tough?
Tough is the wrong word. I think it was frustrating more than anything else, if you use that as the adjective. We've been talking about it and thinking about it for a long time. So nothing's ever wasted in that sense, but there was frustration there in the early phase about having my teams and myself in meetings where it just wasn't landing. It was landing on fairly dry soil. But again, you know, we as a firm, you know, we are headquartered in the Netherlands. From a sustainability point of view, our first sustainability report was actually issued in, I think it was 1976. So we're going back into ancient history in terms of the way we think about things. And I suppose maybe it's not terribly strange if you consider that a large part of the Dutch landmass is actually underwater. And so you do worry about what's going to happen to the planet as a consequence of climate change. So the psyche from the northern European countries has been somewhat different to that of the US. And it's consumer driven, it's government driven, and the finance sector is obviously a catalyst in that as well. And maybe, and I say maybe, but just maybe, the rather large weather that we've been seeing across this nation in the last 2 years is maybe the same catalyst that will drive America more firmly that direction.
Gerald, we've spoken about sustainability, and what I was wondering is about how you put your message out to gain everyone's buy-in, their involvement, their passion in terms of sustainability to employees, customers, stakeholders. If you could share more insights on that, because you really were a pioneer in America in the financial world.
If you look back, 1976 was when we first published a sustainability report, and we have published ever since. But 2021 was an important year in the sense that we took it one step further and we published an integrated climate report for the entire organization. So what we were trying to do there was talk about what we do as a firm, what we can influence as a firm, and how we actually clearly measure parts of our portfolio to show what we're actually doing and what we're achieving. And in that way, we're holding ourselves accountable in the same way we're actually asking our clients to hold themselves accountable when they sign up with us to sustainable improvement loans, or they're involved in green bonds or such like. So it was an important step, and it was an important integrated report, and it's very public, and we hold ourselves accountable, therefore, to the measures that are in that. And in that way, all stakeholders, be they internal, external, investors, be they governments, see exactly what the agenda is for ING. And it's a progressive agenda. And I don't think we ever say we're done on it, because every year there's going to be a different iterations and different challenges that we have to face up and communicate about.
And Gerald, I commend you and ING on your important work as pioneers in helping to move the whole world forward. We're about to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk for CEOs, what is it you really need to know about corporate finance? And you're going to hear straight from Gerald on that. Back in a few.
G'day, I'm Jamel, that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're speaking right now with Gerald Walker, who is the CEO of ING Americas, and we heard a lot about a company from the Netherlands who was far ahead and a pioneer in their sustainability. Before we talk about corporate finance, I just want to ask you, what did you do to galvanize your team and to pull them, everyone together, when you were a pioneer and a few years ahead of what was happening in the market?
I think it comes down to purpose in organizations, doesn't it? And the, you know, one thing that we've been running with a purpose statement within ING, which is empowering people to keep a step ahead in life and in business. And it's that notion of keeping a step ahead that I think drives the dialogue with colleagues here. And, you know, that's not to say that everybody was entirely convinced, but you build upon success and show what is actually possible, and you bring people along with it. And I think all of us, you know, it doesn't matter which business you're in, whether you're in the finance world, whether you're in manufacturing, we have a very interesting makeup in the populations of companies nowadays. Anybody below a certain age has a much deeper interest in this subject than many people above a certain age. And there, you know, what you could find was a great take up in the younger levels of our company, and then a mixed take up in the higher levels. And maybe I would also add to that to say, as a consequence of the way we act in this space, we actually attract talent into the firm because people are interested in working for a firm that has a very clear purpose in this particular space.
If you could sum up and codify your leadership philosophy, what would that be?
I'm incredibly lucky in that I work in an industry where I'm surrounded by very smart people every day of my life. And what I always say is that there's never a day when I don't learn something. And that's an incredibly privileged position to be in. And from my perspective in leadership, I've always run businesses in this particular field as essentially I see myself as a managing partner rather than as a CEO barking orders. We all learn from each other. There is absolutely no monopoly on good ideas, and we move forward that way. And I guess it's, you know, within all of that, as a consequence, there's a degree of humility. And if one looks over the last 2 years, that humility has been really very important to have because we've been dealing with something that none of us had the first clue about how to deal with. And so you have to go with your gut. But you also have to have the humility to say that you don't know all the answers and be quite open about it when you're doing that, and make the calls that you think are right and explain those calls.
And that's what you've been doing really in managing through these turbulent times, pandemic or in the future. I am guessing we're going to have turbulent times as well.
The finance industry is not not at all a stranger to turbulent times. You know, be it the Russia crisis, be it the dot-com boom and bust. You can think of them through my career of 30 plus years. I've seen them all. So turbulence we can work with, and in fact, turbulence is sometimes when banks can be at their best, because through turbulence, you actually prove out the partnerships you have with your clients. And if you're there in the tough times and the good times, that's what makes that partnership really robust. And so turbulence in itself less the issue. I think the issue was uncertainty through COVID, because we were dealing with something that humankind had not had any experience of in modern history. And so there was not a playbook. There was not a way of thinking that was right or wrong. And it will only be with the benefit of history books that we'll see who actually called it the right way, and maybe not necessarily even why, but we'll just see some people did it better than others.
There you have it. So a really important question for CEO audience: what advice or what can you tell CEOs about structured finance, about corporate finance, that maybe they're not as aware as they should be?
I believe from a structured finance position, the level of dialogue that you have with your chosen financier — obviously I just hoped it would always be ING, but I know it always isn't. But if whoever you're dealing with, you have to be really quite open and clear about what you are trying to achieve, because the ability to structure is there. The level of intellect in this particular domain is very, very high. And our job in the finance industry is to move money from one part of the economy to the other in order to create opportunity, to create jobs, and to create prosperity. And we want to do that in partnership, and the best partnerships I see is when we are extremely open with each other to make sure that what you're trying to achieve is very clear, and then we can structure for you. And I don't think it needs to be substantially more complicated than that, Robert, to be perfectly honest. But sometimes if the dialogue isn't open enough, you get the wrong outcome.
You were involved with an MS biking, and that was a pretty big thing. Talk about personally what made you get involved with that.
From a very early age, I've been involved with helping charitable work, be it sponsored walks, be it sponsored runs, be it sponsored cycles. And it's really a bit of a continuity for me. We as ING have been involved with MS Bike here in New York. It's part of a nationwide activity that goes on. And for me, what's wonderful about it is, of course, it raises money. But it's a family event. It's one where the ING family, in its broadest sense, comes out. I drag my teenagers kicking and screaming as well out in it as well, so they actually understand the importance of giving back and the importance of knowing that in our household they're in a position of privilege which many people are not. And I think that together with other charitable things that they get involved in is really important to me, because otherwise, you know, very often the kids of executives can live in a gilded cage, which is actually not the real world and doesn't give them the right appreciation.
And there you have it. It has been a real pleasure speaking with you, Gerald. What I want everyone to remember, think of what Gerald said. We all go through turbulent times, but that really is an opportunity to forge your partnership with clients, to show them what you're really made of at a deeper level. That's when the rubber meets the road. A real pleasure having you, Gerald, on the CEO Show, and I commend you on all of your great pioneering work in sustainability and ESG.
Robert, it's been a pleasure. Very good to speak to you.
Thank you. Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made in America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
I'm Bill Peters, and welcome to the CEO Show. Today, we have Dr. Chantal Landry, who is the president of American College of Education, also known as ACE. Dr. Landry, thank you for being on the show today.
Happy to be here.
American College of Education, also known as ACE, is a 100% online university. You were reporting some very lofty numbers in both applications and retention, which is obviously not what most universities are going through today. So why don't we start there? What are you doing differently?
We have a very open acceptance policy. So anyone who can meet the criteria, so their GPA, whatever their undergrad degree is, any of those things deserve a way in, right? So we do not only have a certain number of seats. Being online allows us to take every qualified student that's possible to take. We have an extremely strong support system that we surround them with because they're adult learners. They have lives. They have responsibilities. School is not going to be their highest priority. So we do have a strong student support system, and that's really what gets them to that ultimate graduation and what makes our retention rates quite high.
Now, obviously, we know everyone's been going through a very difficult period in education in the last couple of years because of COVID, but you became president of the university in 2013. How has your job changed in that period of time?
It's definitely changed. In 2013, we had just over 2,000 students. We're now just over 7,000. We've grown tremendously. We have more than 70 degree programs at this point. And I think the biggest change really has been in the midst of COVID. So while we're completely online, all of our students are online, our staff is online, we have two small administrative offices, one in Indianapolis and one in Dallas. The biggest change came at the leadership level when COVID hit. So while our faculty have always been online, the leadership wasn't necessarily online. I traveled quite a bit. I went back and forth between Indy and Dallas, and we really had to figure out how to pivot that, how to do more of that high-level executive functioning online. And we made it work, and at first it was really difficult, lots of long days sitting on a video conference while we figured it out, but we were all committed to making it work. And once more of the COVID restrictions started to lift and we could actually travel again, what was interesting is that as an executive team, we all said we really have enjoyed being home more with our families. So let's figure out how to keep making this work and not have to travel as much to do the same job. So it really was a conscious effort of all of us to say we want the option to live where we want to live and still work and do the job we want to do. So let's figure out how we make this productive.
Having said that, that there's all of this remote, not only learning, but remote teaching, you were also named one of the best places to work in the state of Indiana back in 2021. And so here you are, a remote operation, and you're still one of the best places to work. So I commend you for that. You're also, I noticed that you are the number one university in the country for master's education degrees. Talk a little bit about how you got to that position. A
couple of things I'll point out. On the best places to work for Indy, this was our fifth year on that making the list of best places to work. And in this fifth year, we were also number one in the state, which was a great position for us to be in. And part of that best places to work really is the commitment to student first. Everything we do is about what is our mission? What are we doing? How are we serving students? And are we making the decision that really puts students at the top of what we're doing? And so when you think about that best places to work, it really comes back to having a culture and a team that is really driving in the same direction. That has that mission buy-in. So that's a big piece of it.
You know, I'm thinking online university. You have degrees in wellness and STEM, and I believe nursing as well. How do you do that online?
Subject matter experts, our faculty members, are the ones that are developing all of the content for courses. And then they take that content and they share it with that curriculum development team that really has instructional designers and videographers and team members that work on what's the best way to get that content to students. What types of innovation can we put in place? I'll use the example, we have a nursing health assessment course where they actually have avatars built into the online courses, and they're interacting with those avatars in their health assessment course. So the avatar is responding and saying, here's what I have going on, here's how I'm feeling. And the nurse then has to respond and say, so here's how I would diagnose it, this is what you need to do, this is what your medicines look like. And they go back and forth in this simulation. So on the healthcare side, we've built all these really wonderful simulations in, and we're building those same simulations right now in our education courses. So it's truly about looking at the content and then saying, how can I deliver this content in a way that is still interacting with students? Because no one wants to sit in an online course and read a bunch of material and teach yourself. That's not what real online learning is. Real online learning is engaging with the content with someone right at the helm walking you through it so that you understand what you need to learn in that process.
Do you believe that the university system in general is better today because of online learning, or is it become more of a problem?
I do think it's better because of online learning. As we think about over 30 million adults in the country that have some credit and no degree, that segment of the population is never going to go back to a fully online, more institution that's built for the 18 to 22-year-old. That's not going to serve that population. So when we think about what we do at American College of Education, it's really about the working adult, and it's trying to figure out how to serve someone who either doesn't want or doesn't need that sort of coming-of-age experience. And I think as the country grows, as higher ed becomes more of a force in the country, if you're not online, if you don't have some online option, you won't be able to compete, because the generation that's coming up grew up with technology. They grew up with information at their fingertips, and they're simply not going to sit in a classroom and go through the boring lectures that we probably went through when we were getting our degrees. I don't think they're going to have the tolerance for it. So as long as online can do what traditional ed can do and do, and in some cases do it better, then I think it's here to stay, and it makes us better. It makes us more competitive.
Dr. Landry, Chantel, if I may, as we keep reading and hearing, there is a war on talent in the United States, certainly right now. And our audience, which is very CEO and senior executive oriented, really is dealing with this problem as one of the major issues that CEOs are facing today. You have all of these jobs that are not being filled, but you've got to fill them with people that are educated to fill those jobs and to do those jobs. And then you have the problem with the cost of education being continuing to grow really at a much higher, faster rate than our economy and even inflation is growing. Something's got to give here. And how do you solve that? I mean, if I'm a CEO, I'm trying to figure out where do I get my people from, but they have to be educated. You're the educator. You're producing these people. How do we fix this problem, or is it something that's just going to continue?
I think it's a twofold type of response. First, from just the education point of view, it's making sure that as institutions of higher ed, we're educating for what the market needs. So we don't have degrees that just sort of sit there and languish. That's not good for us, frankly. From a profitability point of view, it's definitely not good for students because it's not going to lead to a job. We're really focused on making sure that what we offer is relevant and applicable to what's going on out there right now. And then the second part I wanted to address is this a great resignation we're dealing with and the war on talent? Because we have done some things very specifically to try and make sure we keep people and that they don't really want to go someplace else. And a lot of that comes down to culture. It comes down to collaboration. something that our teams, we surveyed our employees at the start of the pandemic because everyone was just completely panicked about what's happening to their jobs. Can we maintain things? What's happening? And they said, we want more information, and we want more information on a relatively quick basis. So at the time, what we came up with is a weekly video that I would do to the entire college community that shared where are our numbers. And it sort of from there morphed into this weekly video that still covers our numbers and the transparency and making sure everyone understands we're fine and we're okay. But then it also covers an announcement I want to make, or that week maybe I'm reading a book about grace and I'm talking about, you know, let's make sure we show our students grace because they're working adults too and they're experiencing the same things we're experiencing.
We're about to take a commercial break, and when we come back, Dr. Landry is going to talk a little bit about her business philosophies and some of the challenges that she's had to overcome in her career.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
This is Bill Peters, and this is the CEO Show, where we interview CEOs that are changing the fabric of America. Today, we're talking to Dr. Chantel Landry, who is the president of American College of Education, or affectionately known as ACE. Chantel, talk a little bit about, you know, your personal business philosophies. I know you've got some really good. When we were talking earlier, you mentioned some really good things to me. So talk about what's important to you and your business philosophy.
As I think about who I am as a leader and what I believe in terms of my business philosophy, a lot of it comes back to leading with my heart and being a truly transparent and authentic leader. Not afraid to admit when I do something wrong, not afraid to show vulnerability. And we're not very hierarchical, and that is something that I make sure everyone understands, especially when we hire new faculty that come from maybe a more traditional higher ed experience who believe in, you know, the faculty can't talk to a president. That's not who we are, and so I make sure I'm boots on the ground, hands on the ground, volunteering with our teams, making sure that they see who I am. I mentioned those weekly videos earlier, and they see who I am in those videos. There are times when I talk about something that's really personal or a challenge I'm dealing with. So I think that level of authenticity from a leader is part of what gives everyone permission to be authentic too and feel like they're in a safe space and they're in a place where they get to thrive and they're in a place where they don't have to be perfect. At our institution, we really talk about extreme ownership. And so if someone makes a mistake, own it and then figure out how we're going to fix it. No one's worried about getting fired if they make a mistake because they know that we all make mistakes and there's place to make mistakes. There's place to say, I really messed that up, but here's what I think I can do to make it better in the future. I think in the end, it comes back to this leading with heart. And it comes back to something that everyone here has heard me say multiple times, which is if you really focus on your customers, and in our case, that's students, but if you focus on your customers and you focus on your employees, and that is the heart of what you do, then your profits, your productivity, and your success, they're going to follow. If you turn it around and you focus only on the profits, you're not going to have the culture and the success and the productivity follow in all cases. So you really have to do something different than what you might tend to do, which is focus first on the customers, employees, and everything else works itself out.
I think that should be printed on the desk of every CEO in America, frankly. I love that, the way you put that. Let's talk about a personal challenge, whether it be a personal challenge, business challenge. Was there something that you had to overcome in your career? And feel free to be as specific as you'd like.
There's probably a number of them. I would say probably my biggest challenge was coming from a very, very small town in South Louisiana where most people stay there. They don't leave. And getting to the place where I am now is not typical. And it really occurred because I had great mentors who continued to tell me I could do more than I thought I could do. As a female, especially a female leader, there's a lot of imposter syndrome out there. There's a lot of times that you think there's no way I should be in this role or I should be doing what I'm doing. I've had to do a lot of that overcoming to say, I deserve to be here. Look at our rates, look at our success, look at our employees, look at our students. Like, clearly something, I'm doing something right. But I think many, many leaders face that, not just female leaders. And so knowing that you have sort of that mentor group you can come to and say, please check me. This is what I'm thinking. I need someone to give me a true reality check and tell me, am I correct in what I'm thinking or am I incorrect? So I think being able to have that strong leadership group that you can surround yourself with helps you be a better leader because someone's telling you the truth.
Talking about mentoring, what advice do you have for female women CEOs that aspire to reach a position like you're in?
It's finding the mentor. I think my career trajectory really changed when I walked into the office of, at the time, our executive vice president, and I said, can I take you to lunch? And she looked a little strangely at me because she really didn't know who I was. And I said, I just want to pick your brain and I want to figure out how do I get into a role like you. I'd like to do this in my career. I don't even know how to start that. And so she said, well, I'll take you to lunch. And that started just some great mentoring where I really had someone that was saying, here's what you need to do. Even to the point when I was in meetings, she would come back and say, this is the perception of what you said, or this is how you come across, and I don't think that's what you meant. So let's work on what that looks like. So having a mentor and then having a mentor that opens up doors to bring you to a seat at the table, that's the difference.
So that's great advice. Find a mentor and have the mentor help you while you help the mentor. That's terrific. What's your definition of a transformative CEO? We ask most of our CEO interviews this question, and we get a lot of different answers.
When I think about a transformative CEO, it's someone who is looking at the bigger picture, who's thinking out of the box, and looking at large problems that no one else is willing to touch, and thinking about how do I, in my role, whatever that role is, try and solve those big issues. I really think we have to be willing to say there's problems out there that we can fix and not just do our jobs.
One final question. We've got about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about the future of education. What concerns do you have about the future of education in America?
What worries me the most about the future of education is the student debt load. We have the majority of our institutions that, if you think about it from a budget perspective and you think about it from a for-profit perspective, they're living beyond their means. They have state subsidies. They have federal government subsidies, which really encourages you to not have to live within your means because you have income coming in. I think that's where we've gone wrong, and that's where we've, as a group of higher ed professionals, we have lost sight of, I think, the goal. We've forgotten that it's about students, and students can't put themselves through college anymore. They can't work their way through college. And if you can't do that, at some point, we're going to eliminate the middle class from being able to even afford to attend. And that is my biggest fear, that if we cannot get the cost of higher ed in bounds for someone to put themselves through school without putting themselves into $50,000 to $60,000 worth of debt, we're eliminating a section. Those that are very, very wealthy will still have the ability to go to college. And those that are very, very poor will get grants and subsidies. But the middle class won't be able to. And that's my biggest concern.
On that note, Dr. Landry, I want to thank you for being a guest on the CEO Show today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.